الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله واتقوا الله إن الله سميع عليم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا ترفعوا أصواتكم فوق صوت النبي لا ترفعوا أصواتكم فوق صوت النبي ولا تجهروا له بالقول ولا تجهروا له بالقول كجهر بعضكم لبعض أن تحبط أعمالكم وأنتم لا تشعرون سورة الحجرات The surah which is known as Hujarat It comprises of 18 verses and it was revealed in Medina, the blessed city of the most beloved Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hujarat in Arabic, it is the plural of the word hujratun and it means chambers or rooms. This surah is a very beautiful surah as it teaches us about something which is very, very important in our lives, which is known as Islahun Nafs, correcting ourselves, reforming ourselves. Many ahkam, adabs, etiquettes of our life, how we should behave, how we should conduct ourselves. That is something which is the real strength of a believer. That is something which is the real power in a believer. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses a believer, and that believer is beloved by Allah, it is not because that person is very, very strong, or he is very heavy, or he is very weighty. However, he can be very thin and weak. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala was so thin that whenever he used to put on his trousers, all his trousers is to fall off. All. Because he was so thin, none could fit him. However, the status of Abu Bakr in the sight of Allah is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in authentic traditions that besides the Anbiya and Apostle, the sun has never risen nor has it ever set upon another human being greater than Abu Bakr. Allahu Akbar. The greatest servant after the Anbiya's of Allah. However, Abu Bakr was thin, starving, weak, poor. So the real strength of a person is what he has with him. How close he is to Allah. How clean his heart is. How powerful his du'as are. Not with respect to physical strength. How many people were there in the Battle of Badr? 313. Against a big army at that time to them of 1,000. However, Allah's help came to them, and what they thought they could have never done, they did it. They did it. So Islahun Nafs, correcting ourselves, it is very, very important. Self-reformation to make our Islah. Because the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Allah does not look towards your shape and he does not look towards your clothing, but he looks towards your heart. He looks towards the heart, what the heart has in it. So many people will be performing salat, many people will give a lot of zakat, they will give a lot of sadaqat and khairat, charity, they will be very generous, but sometimes the heart is not clean. Sometimes the heart is dirty with impurities in it, impurities of malice, of hatred, backbiting, slandering. So all that you see a person doing, it becomes worthless in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the real power is the power from within, not outside. Not what you see a person doing externally. There is no power at all. Because there were many people who the Sahabas radiallahu ta'ala anhum taught that they were very great. And when they were fighting in the battle, they will say, Messenger of Allah, look at that person. Imam Bukhari himself mentions a hadith where this person by the name of Quzman was fighting. He was fighting very, very brave. And he was putting down unbelievers one after the other. The Sahabas were astonished. They were surprised. It says, Ya Rasulallah, O Messenger of Allah, انظر إلى هذا الرجل. Look at this man, how brave he is. How much people that Allah has allowed him to put them from among the unbelievers. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at him. He says, "Amma innahu fahuwa min ahli nar." He is from the fire of hell. Don't let that turn up your eyes and catch you and seize your attention. So, this surah, it speaks about islahun nafs, adab, ahkam, how we conduct ourselves, what we should do, how we live in society, how we live with Muslims. And it begins with the greatest respect which is demanded from us. That respect is the respect to the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The greatest respect. Obviously, Allah is our creator, and the love in our hearts for Allah is the greatest, more than anything else. But after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the person who deserves our love, our respect? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So much so, in the authentic hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no one can become a true believer. Now the word true is an interpretation, but the Arabic hadith is la yu'minu ahadukum, which means none of you can be a believer. True is just an explanation. True is just an explanation. As for the words that were exactly used by the Prophet of Allah, is none of you can be a believer. Why? Because of the fact, leaving true aside, how can a person be a believer in the sight of Allah when his love for the Rasul is not much? How can he follow the Messenger of Allah? How can he take the laws of the Messenger of Allah? And during the time of the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those people who displayed such an act that their love is not so much for the Rasul of Allah, they were people who were called the munafiq and the hypocrites. So, it did happen in incidents when something happened between a true Muslim, a Sahabi, and another person who claimed to be a Muslim, and that other person feared that if we go to the Rasul of Allah to make a decision, then he will consider me wrong because he's a Nabi, he will know what is the truth, and I will be embarrassed. So he says, no, let us not go by the Rasul. The Sahabi wanted to go to the Rasul. The other person says, no, let us not go by him. Let us go to a Jewish scholar, and he will rule above us. Because with the Jewish scholar, you can give him a little thing and sweeten his hand a little bit, and he will rule in your favor. But not so with the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, upon that, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam revealed an ayat from the Holy Quran, speaking about the true believers and those people who just claim to be believers but they are not really believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions those people who are true believers are those people that in any affair of theirs where there is a dispute, they immediately go to the Rasul of Allah so that he may rule above them. And when he gives a ruling, they will accept it open-heartedly and they will not turn back after that. Those people who are not like this, they are not true believers. So therefore, if a person is hesitant to go to the Rasul of Allah, then something is wrong with his iman. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O those who believe, La tuqaddimu bayna yaday illahi wa rasuli. Do not put yourselves forward in front of Allah and his Rasul. Wattaqullah, and fear Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Certainly Allah is all hearing, Allah is all knower. It is mentioned that some people came from the tribe of Banu Tamim to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. With him were companions like Abu Bakr and Umar. And they requested the Messenger of Allah that he should choose a hakim above them. They are Muslims, but let him choose a ruler above them, you know, among the go back at their tribe, they will be living far. So So a person who will be the leader, the imam. Before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam can say anything, the Sahaba, some of them started to give their opinions. Abu Bakr gave his opinion that the leader should be a person by the name of Qaqa bin Ma'bad. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala gave his opinion that the leader should be Aqra bin Habis. So, while each of them was saying something, it rose into a little loud speaking. A person, so some of the people will say, yes, Aqra bin Habis should be the person. The other said the same, Qaqa bin Ma'bad should be the person. And their voices rose high. And it came up. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was there. That was a very great disrespect to the Messenger of Allah. That in his presence you conduct yourselves like that, that is unbecoming of believers. What she should have done, wait, let him speak first. Let him give his opinion. Let him make the decision. If he feels that it is an issue that needs consultation, he will consult with you. Don't speak before him. Don't do that. Based on that, Allah revealed this ayah, these verses. Telling the believers, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O those who believe, all the believers, La tuqaddimu bayna yadayillahi wa rasulihi wattaqullah. Do not put yourselves forward before Allah and His Rasul. Do not even think about giving your opinion before Him. Do not make a decision before Him. Do not speak before Him. If He gives you ijazat and permission to speak, you may speak. But He is the Rasul of Allah. He is the Messenger of Allah. And it is a great disrespect for inferiors to speak before their superiors. That is a very great disrespect. And Allah is teaching us that in this ayat. He's teaching, obviously, those sahabas who were there, that لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله. Do not put yourselves forward before Allah and His Rasul. And in this matter, وَتَقُ اللَّهُ fear Allah in this matter. He is the Messenger of Allah, fear Allah. With respect to what you say, their voices became loud. Their voices became loud, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was there standing, listening, and it did not look good at all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the Holy Quran says, Inna Allah sami'un alim. Allah is listening to all that you say, for He is all hearing. Alimun, and He knows what is in your hearts also. So He is alim. So Allah gives them the other adab, the adab, the etiquette, the example, islah. And Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, la tarfa'u aswatakum fawqa sawti an-nabi. O those who believe, do not raise your voices above the voice of the Nabi of Allah. Wala tajharu lahu, and do not speak in a loud manner to him, bil qawli, in speech. Kajahri ba'dikum li ba'd. Like how some of you will speak in a loud tone to some others, do not speak like that. Lest antahbata amalukum, lest that your actions should be futile and should go in vain. Wa antum la tash'urun, and you do not know about it. So with respect to this incident, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the believers two of these adab, where we conduct ourselves. One is that in any matter, a person should not put himself before Allah and His Rasul in any matter. Now it refers, obviously, immediately to the incident that occurred here, where before the Rasul of Allah could have said something, they started to speak. Allah corrected that, says, no, that should not be the way. And generally speaking, in all our affairs, we should not put our opinion before the opinion of Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We cannot put our decision before the decision of Allah and His Rasul. We cannot put our likes and dislikes before the likes and dislikes of Allah and His Rasul. This ayat also means that لَا تُقَدِّمُوا, do not put yourselves forward. That bus, you are so selfish, you think about your own self, you think about what you like, you think about what you dislike, you think about what you want in life, and you are putting yourself before Allah and His Rasul. Then you are thinking about and you are looking at what they want and what is the requirement of Allah and His Rasul. Allah says, no, That is not permissible at all. The other ayah speaks about لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ. Do not raise your voices above the voice of the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With respect to the first adab, where it states that a person should not put himself before Allah and His Rasul, this adab also goes with respect to walking. Putting forward, it refers to a physical act, and it refers to generally, non-physical. With respect to a person will put himself before Allah and His Rasul, obviously that is out. So therefore, it could never have happened, nor did it ever happen, that the Sahabas are with the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they are invited towards a da'wat or invitation, and then one Sahabi will go and begin to eat, and then the Rasul is coming. No, you are putting yourself forward. That is not permissible. This ayat is quite general. So it speaks about every single thing. That whenever, in every single thing they did, whenever the Rasul of Allah used to move with the army, he will be in front. They will not pass him with the camel or the horse. He will be in front. Whenever he is walking, they will walk behind him. They will never be in front, because that is putting yourself forward before the Rasul of Allah. If the Rasul has to descend from the horse or the camel, they will not come down until he, first of all, he comes down, he descends. And then they will come down after him. If they are invited towards a da'wat and invitation, first of all, he will enter, and then they will enter. First of all, he will partake from it, and then they will partake from it. This is the teaching that Allah is given in this ayah about putting yourself forward before Allah and His Rasul. The famous commentators of the Holy Quran, the Mufassirin of the Holy Quran, from the very early centuries of Islam, as the 3rd and the 4th century, Mufassirin like Abu Hayyan, Mufassirin like Allama Qurtubi, they have stated that the adams that Allah is mentioning for the Rasul is the same adam that should be given to ulamas and mashaykh, people of superiority in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? One, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself said, Al-ulama warathatul anbiya, that the ulama and the scholars are his inheritors. They are the inheritors. They are the people who inherit exactly what the anbiyas got from Allah. And that is a very, very great mansab of the ulamas mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Bukhari has mentioned that hadith on Kitab al-Ilm, on Bab al-Fadl al-Ilm wal-Ulama. This is the chapter of the virtues of ilm and ulama. One, he has used what? The ayah of the Quran. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاء. That certainly those people who will truly fear Allah, they are the ulama, al-ulama, the scholars. Because fearing Allah stems from the knowledge of Allah. You cannot fear Allah if you don't have the proper knowledge of Allah. Therefore, if you know this is haram, you will say, I cannot take that, I fear Allah. But if you do not know it's haram, you're going to consume it and you will use it. And there is no fear of Allah. You are about to say something, but you know in Islam it is haram in the hadith. So you say, I am not going to say it because I fear Allah. I am not going to say it. But if a person doesn't know that it is wrong and it is harmful and haram, he will say it and it wouldn't really matter to him. So this is why Allah is saying, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاء. Certainly, those people who really will fear Allah, they are the ulama. And then the hadith that Imam Bukhari has brought to support the virtue and the fadilat and virtue and honor of the ulama, use the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, among so people flocking around him in those days, you have the wealthy people like Abdurrahman bin Auf, wealthy people like Uthman. He was so wealthy that they gave him the title of Al-Ghani, the wealthy one. Ghani means wealthy, a rich man, Al-Ghani. So many people were wealthy. So many people were leaders of the tribes, big leaders of different tribes, coming from all the different surrounding areas. People who were the custodian of the Kaaba, chiefs of the Quraysh, chiefs of Banu Abd Manaf. All those people used to be at the feet of the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, listening to him. But looking at all of them, he says, in other words, he says, not all of you can be mine inheritor, not all of you. Not all of you, only a certain group of people will be, rightfully have a claim to be mine heir and mine inheritor. And who are those people? Al-ulama warathatul anbiya. the ulama, they are the waratha and the heirs of the Prophet. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam himself said, they are the one to inherit, they are the ones to inherit from the ulum of the buwat, the knowledge of prophethood from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. What will they inherit? Gold and silver? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam says, that is not the legacy of prophets. The Prophet didn't come on the face of the earth to make money and leave money as the legacy. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam left this world, what did he leave? Nothing to be distributed. Nothing to be distributed inheritance. He says, but the Anbiya's, they do not leave gold and silver as their legacy, but they leave ilm, knowledge. And then he says, man akhazahu, whosoever takes that ilm, akhazahu bihadhin wafir, he has certainly taken a mighty portion from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So because they are the inheritors of the Prophet, Allama Qurtubi, the great Mufassir, and many Mufassirin have mentioned, similarly the Adams, they are just like that, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has outlined, by using the Prophet, how we should treat our superiors. People who are elder than us, people who are higher than us. It is false in Islam that we respect each other. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, he is not from among us who does not respect those who are above him. Similarly, another hadith that is mentioned, that once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala and walking, and he saw that Abu Bakr was walking also, but Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala was walking in front of Abu Bakr. Abu Darda was a Sahabi, Abu Bakr was another Sahabi, and Abu Darda was walking in front of Abu Bakr. He called Abu Darda and he reprimanded him. He says, will you find yourself walking in front of such a person who is better than you in this world and the hereafter? That is not the way. That is not the way. Find yourself behind him. He walks in front, you walk behind. That is adab and ihtiram and respect. Those people who are superior than us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا تُقَدِّمُوا بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِ. Do not put yourselves in front of Allah and in front of His Rasul. Then the other adab is that, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَرْفَوْا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ. Oh, those who believe, do not raise your voices above the voice of the Nabi. Similarly, this adab also, as Allama Qurtubi has mentioned, he says, because of the fact that the ulama are the waris, waratha, the inheritors of the Prophet, the same adab supposed to be given to them, because Islam, true deen, is based on respect and love for each other. When you respect each other, so we will see in the ayah here that it wasn't proper for anyone to come and call the Prophet Muhammad, come out here. No, you have to put respect. Similarly, your father, you cannot call your father. Your father name is Zaid. You're supposed to call him Abu, or father. Ya Abati, oh my beloved father. So he says, Zaid, I want to see you. I want to speak with you. Na'uzubillah. What type of disrespect? Islam has never preached that. So those people who are above us, with respect to age, with respect to learning, with respect to taqwa, virtues, piety, and with respect to family lineage also, be very careful how we address those people. It is not Islamic teachings that we address them in any and any manner. So, this is the other thing here. That the same adab that is mentioned with respect to how we speak to people, how we speak to those people who are higher than us, we should not raise our voices higher than their voices. That is a great form of disrespect. When this ayah was revealed, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, because these ayahs were revealed about them, first of all, because Abu Bakr and Umar, their voices raised a little high in the presence of the Rasul of Allah. So, first ayat, don't put yourself in front. Wait, let the Rasul give his decision, then you will speak afterwards. If he asks from you, your decision. Secondly, your voices. How is it that you cause your voices to raise higher than the voice of the Rasul? Don't do that. La tarfaw. That is in the imperative, negative imperative tense. Don't ever do. That's a command from Allah. After this ayat was revealed, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala used to tremble out of fear. Abu Bakr came to the Rasul of Allah and said, oh Rasul of Allah, forgive me. Oh Messenger of Allah, I swear by Allah, I will continue to speak to you until I die. just as the way a person will speak to another person as if he's telling him a secret. That is how low Abu Bakr carried his voice. Umar radiallahu ta'ala's condition was such that whenever he spoke to the Rasul of Allah, he used to speak in such a manner that the Rasul have to ask him again, "What did you say, Umar?" So soft. Thabit bin Qais radiallahu ta'ala used to tremble with fear, and he used to keep on weeping, because Thabit bin Qais was a person with a loud voice naturally. You know, some people have a natural voice. When they are speaking friendly to you, you will think they are quarreling. That is the way. So his voice was loud. And after this ayah was revealed, he started to tremble with fear, and he used to cry and weep. And he never ever in his life raised his voice loud again. He always tried his best. He kept it down because of the teachings here. The Mufassirin have stated it. For example, like Qazi Abu Bakr ibn al-Arabi, very great Mufassir of the Holy Quran of the early centuries, he has stated that the respect to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as mentioned and ordained by Allah, is the same to the Rasul before his death and after his death. Not only when he was alive, but even after his death also, the love and that respect and the laws which Allah has given here, it remains the same. So therefore, many of the muhaqqiqeen, the mufassirin commentators have mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not here. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has gone back to Allah, his rawza is there. Our aqeedah, as Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat, people who hold on to the Sunnah of the Rasul of Allah, and our belief is the same as that of the Sahabas radiallahu ta'ala anhum. This is what Allah says in the Holy Quran, in the very beginning of the Holy Quran, that if they believe like how the Sahabas believe, they will be guided. So Allah is using the belief of the Sahabas as a criterion and measurement for true belief. That if your belief is there, it must be like the Sahabas. Then and only then, you are muhtadun, guided. And that is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is alive in his rawza-i mubarak, in his blessed grave, like all the other ambiyas. Because we believe in the death of people, but all of us, we believe there is life in the grave. When a person is buried by, that might become his barzakh. He's not dead. He's alive in the grave. The type of life we cannot understand. So the belief of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat is Hayati Anbiya Ikram, that the Anbiya's of Allah, they are alive in their grave. No one from among the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat, from among the Sahabas until today, no one from among the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat has ever disbelieved in the life, the living of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being alive in his grave. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam himself says, when a person sends salams to me, the salam reaches me, Allah deputes an angel to take the reply and give it back to that person. That is evident from authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So therefore, the ruling of not raising our voice is still up to today. Not only for the Sahabas. As such, the law is that when a person goes to Rawza Mubarak, Rawza is the place where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is buried, and where he is there. Rawza in Arabic means a garden. And during his lifetime, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself referred to that place, and he says, "What is between my member here and that place is Rawdum min Riyazil Jannat, a garden from the gardens of paradise." And it so happened that Allah caused him to die right there, and he's buried right there. It's called Rawdah. And even up to today, alhamdulillah, the Saudis, the government has, you know, made that place known by putting the green carpet on that side, that this is the Rawdah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It's still there. The room that he's buried in was the room of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. He was buried right there where he passed. Exactly the same spot where he died, upon which he died, that's the spot where he is buried. So therefore, the ruling of this ayah here, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O those who believe, La tarfa'u aswatakum fawqa sawtin nabi, do not raise your voices above that of the Rasul, the law is still today. So therefore, when people go to perform Hajj, or they go for Umrah, and they make ziyarah of the qabr of the Prophet, keep it low, because a person must give salam to the grave when he passes there. The masnoon salam, which the Prophet ﷺ himself taught, when they pass by his grave, you know, how they should make salams to him at that time. He should not raise his voice. Similarly, The fuqaha mentioned and the mufassirin commentators and the jurists have mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, while he was alive, he spoke. But even after he has passed away, the words he spoke are still in the book. So when those words are being read, it is like the Rasul of Allah is speaking. This is why Imam Tirmizi, after completing his compilation of ahadith, one of the great muhaddiths of the past, student of Imam Bukhari also, very great muhaddith, we know his name, Imam Tirmizi. When he had written his book, after working so hard and compiling the authentic traditions, he wrote, "Man kana indahu hadhal kitab." عنده هذا الكتاب فكأنه عنده نبي يتكلم الله أكبر. He says, whosoever has this book in his hand, it is as though he has a Nabi speaking to him in his hand. Allahu Akbar. These are the words of the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is why the scholars have mentioned great adab and respect to ahadith. When we read it, make wuzu and read it. It is the kalam of the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is not any fairy tale or any words, you know, written by any other professor or doctor. This is the words of the most beloved messenger of Allah that has been sent to the world, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The words he has narrated is mentioned and narrated exactly as he said them, without any change. Exactly as he said them. So when the word is read, قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما الأعمال بالنيات. Words are exactly what he uttered with his blessed lips. So therefore, when the hadith is being read also, no one should raise their voice above that hadith in the presence of the hadith, because of this, لا ترفعوا أصواتكم فوق صوت النبي. It's like the salt of the Nabi. The words of the Rasul is being read. Then Allah says, that is one. When he is there, do not raise your voice. وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ. And do not be allowed to him in statements, in speech. In other words, one thing he is speaking, do not speak louder to him. But even when you are speaking to him together, do not speak to him as you will speak to other people. It refers to the manner of your speech. And it also refers to the way you construct your speech. Because of the fact that we know that when you are dealing with different people, you speak differently. You are asking your friend for something, you say, "Boy, give me the thing." You are asking your father for something, you say, "Boy, give me the thing." You can't say that. The same thing you will ask, but with adab and ihtiram. "Please, may I have it?" It's in different way. So Allah is saying, "Wala tajharu lahu bil qawl." The way that you will be allowed to each other, speaking loudly to each other, do not be like that with the Rasul of Allah. وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ. And do not be in a loud tone to him, the Rasul of Allah, in speaking to him. كَجَهْرِ بَعْضِكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ. Just as how some of you will be speaking to others in a loud tone, do not do that. أَنْ تَحْبَتَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ. Why you should not do that? Less that your actions may go in vain. وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. And you do not know about it. It's a very beautiful message in this ayat here. Two adabs the Prophet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us with regards to how our respect is for the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With respect to putting ourselves forward, and also with respect to our speech. And as we have stated, the Mufassirin have stated that also for our elders, our mashayikh, our akabir, those people who are elder than us in ilm, in taqwa, in piety, therefore the respect, it must be there. Now Allah says that you must do this, because if you do not do it, then it is likely that your actions will go in vain, be futile, will be destroyed, and you don't even know it. Now how will that happen? We know that according to authentic traditions, there is one thing that has been mentioned can destroy our good actions, and that is kufr. Kufr. Kufr is something, when a person adopts kufr, it destroys all his actions. And kufr is fa'lun ikhtiyariyan. Kufr is also something of choice. In other words, a person cannot become a kafir unknowingly. A person can become a kafir when he has chosen to adopt that path. So it's a choice. But two things are mentioned here. One is that actions can be destroyed, but kufr was not mentioned. And the other thing is that sometimes actions will be completely destroyed. Kufr will come upon a person and a person doesn't even know it. It's a very important lesson here. The Mufassirin of the Holy Quran have mentioned that in this ayah, Allah is showing us that besides kufr, there are certain actions that if a person does it, even unintentionally, the destructive nature of those actions are such that it can destroy your good actions. And you don't know about it. And one of that is bi-adabi and disrespect of the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is why after these two adab, Allah is saying if you don't do it, it is likely that your actions may destroy, you don't even know it. After which two? One, do not put yourself in front of Allah and His Rasul. And the other one with respect to your speech. After that, Allah says, now, if you do it, then it is likely that your actions may be destroyed and you don't even know it. So it shows gustakhi Rasul or bi-adabi, disrespect to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is such an action that can destroy a person's actions. How does that happen? This disrespect to the Nabi of Allah, and in this same line, the Mufassirin have mentioned disrespect to our mashayikh, those people who are elderly to us, our sheikhs of learning, the ulama, the akabir, disrespect to them is a sin of such a nature that when a person becomes habitual of that, then the ability to make tawbah and do good actions is seized from his heart. Understand carefully. Understand how it works. Why do we do good actions? Allah gives us the ability to do good actions. How do we reach in the masjid? Allah gives us the ability to reach in the masjid. Why do we stand and perform salat? Allah gives us the strength and the ability. Then we will go to sleep. Why do we get up again in the morning of Fajr? We know it, but sometimes we will sleep over it. We get up because Allah gives us the tawfiq. Tawfiq is used in Arabic. What does it mean? The urge, the desire in our heart, the zeal, the push, the motivation to do it, that we get up and we do it. That tawfiq comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The dominant feeling of doing wrong things come from shaitan. Allah has allowed it. But Allah has not asked us to do it. He has allowed shaitan to do whatever he wishes to do, so shaitan will do it. It is for us to take that or take the opposite of that. So, a person gets the tawbah, gets the ability from Allah to repent to Allah when the ability is placed in him to recognize in his heart that I have really done wrong things. That quality of humility strikes in his heart and he says to his inner heart that, oh Allah, I have really done wrong things and I need to repent to you. So, that ability is placed. When that ability is seized and snatched, the person will do wrong things every day and never ever get the ability to make tawbah. What is the result? He will leave the world in such a state that he has never made tawbah to Allah. He goes back to Allah in that same black and dirty heart. With that same black and dirty heart. The quality of doing good actions comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To do good actions. When the ability and the tawfiq is seized away, the person feels lazy, very lazy and extremely lazy to even perform one salat of the week, which is Jummah. That is when the tawfiq is not there and the ability. This is why, how blessed is the dua of the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he says, Allahumma waffiqna lima tuhibbu wa tarda. Oh Allah, give us the ability to do that which you want us to do, which you love and which you are pleased with. Allahumma waffiqna lima tuhibbu wa tarda min al-qawli wal-fali wal-amali wal-niyati wal-hadi wal-huda. Allahu Akbar. Comprehensive dua. Oh Allah, you give us the ability to do that which you like, which you love and which you are pleased with, whether it is from statements on our tongue, whether it is from our actions, whether it is a niyat in our hearts, whether it is given a sacrifice unto you or given a gift. Oh Allah, whatever it is you love, you give us the ability to do that, because no man can do anything except the ability does not come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is where it comes from. When Allah seizes the ability in the person, He seizes the ability in the heart of a person to make tawbah, then every day the person will continue to do wrong things. And what the Quran mentions about those people whose tawbah is not accepted by Allah, they are those who do a sin, do not repent to Allah, and repeat the same sin again and again. Those people, they die. When they die like those who are in a state of kufr. So when the tawfiq is seized from the heart, two things: the person does not do good actions, and the person doesn't make tawbah to Allah. What is his account with Allah when he goes back to Allah in a state where he did not make tawbah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about people who commit sins, that the azab will come to them. But who are those people who will commit sins and the azab will not come to them? Illa man tara wa amila amalan saliha, except those people who make tawbah to Allah and do good actions. So besides those people who do not make tawbah to Allah and do not do good actions, then those people will receive the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Having no ability in the heart to make tawbah and doing good actions eventually leads towards kufr. Eventually leads towards kufr. A person's heart become very hard. كَلَّا بَلْغَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. The Quran says it is the rust in the heart because of what they used to do. The heart becomes rusted and seized, and it is locked. Nothing good can penetrate the heart again. The heart doesn't even weep before Allah. The heart doesn't even acknowledge that it has committed sins. The person has committed sins. Nor is there the ability in the heart of the person that will push him and motivate him to do anything good. Why all those things come, my dear brothers and sisters? Because of this bi'adabi and disrespect to the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Disrespect to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is why after that Allah says, lest an tahbata a'malukum, lest that the actions go in vain, wa antum la tash'urun, and you do not even know about it. This is why commentating on this ayah, commentating on this same part of the ayah, the ending part, an tahbata a'malukum, the ulamas have stated, the mufassirin have stated, that gusta and bi'adabi, disrespect to our elders in learning, in righteousness and piety, disrespect to the mashayikh, disrespect to the sahabas radiallahu ta'ala anhum, brings about such, it is such a sin that it creates in the person such a temperament that he has no sense of making tawbah to Allah, nor is there any idea or zeal in his heart to do good actions. It is maslub, it is taken away from his heart. It is taken away from his heart. Now let us put it again. Who among people will be disrespectful to the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Whosoever is disrespectful, then we have to weigh his iman to see if he's a believer or not. Who are there who will be disrespectful to the Sahabas of the Rasul? Those people whose iman is also questionable. And in our time, who are those who have written against the Rasul and his blessed family, except those people who by their action have been thrown out of the pale of Islam? The examples are in front of us. You write or you say something, it carries you deeper and deeper in the fire of hell. So be adabi and disrespect to the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And those people who are close with him, this is why there is a hadith. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in Hadith Qudsi, and it is mentioned by Alama Nawawi also, authentic Hadith Qudsi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Man aada li waliyan faqad aadantuhu biharbin. Whosoever entertains enmity and hatred to one of my friends, I have announced a war against that person. Whose statement is that? Allah. Whosoever. On the face of the earth, you have people who are called the awliya of Allah. Wali, people who have devoted their time and they have done such actions that have won the pleasure of Allah. Allah is pleased with them. Allah Himself says in the Holy Quran about the Sahabas. Who are the Sahabas? Angels? No, not angels. Were they prophets? They weren't prophets. They were human beings just like you and I. So therefore, if they had the ability to reach to such a platform in the sight of Allah, then other human beings also have the ability, because they are the same human beings and they are not ambiyas and angels. So they have reached such a status that Allah Himself says they are khairul bariyah, the best of the creation on the face of the earth. Khairul bariyah. Radiallahu anhum wa radu an. Allah is announcing His pleasure with them, that they are well pleased with Allah, and Allah is pleased with them. They have reached such a rank and honor that while they were alive, Allah revealed to the Prophet, tell 10 of them, Jannat is wajib for them. While they were alive, before they die, they know they are going to Jannat. Ashara mubashara, the 10 people who received great tidings of Jannat. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat right in front of them. Abu Bakr fil Jannat, Umar fil Jannat, Uthman fil Jannat, Ali fil Jannat, announced 10 names. 10 names. So therefore, there are certain people who, because of their actions are beloved to Allah, and they have become a mahbub of Allah. Their love for Allah, that whatever they do and wherever they go, Allah's protection continuously remains with them. They are awliya. This is why the Holy Quran says, "Inna awliya." Those people who are the awliya and friends of Allah, those people who have entrusted themselves in the hands of Allah, Allah says about them, protects them, etc., etc. Allah is saying, whosoever entertains enmity and hatred against such a people, I have announced war against those people. War from Allah comes to the person in severe calamities, one after the other. And the person cannot understand what is happening. And it goes on. And he says, it seems I'm passing through a little gra. But he can't understand what he has done to a person who Allah has blessed. And he continues. And problems after problems. And they will never end. That is the war which is coming from Allah. Allah has waged a jihad against him. He will try everything and he cannot see his way, because he entertains enmity and grudge and malice against a wali. Allah says that in Hadith Qudsi. Whosoever entertains enmity, then war is waged against that person. So it is such a very, as we speak it, bi-adabi, disrespect. Disrespect. It is such a great, grave sin. The effects of such a sin is that it causes the ability to make tawbah and good actions to be seized from the heart. The person lives a life. A person does wrong thing, but he doesn't have the ability to understand it is wrong. So you say, "Bhai, you know what you did, make tawbah to Allah." He says, "What tawbah? I didn't do anything wrong. Why should I make tawbah?" So he does it and he cannot even understand it is wrong. So he lives in that jahalat and ignorance. He lives in that hard-heartedness and continues to live until he passes away from the world and he meets Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then speaks about the people who causes their voice to be low. We speak with adab and ihtiram. We speak with respect. Islam is a religion that teaches us a lot of respect. So when we speak also, we speak to those elder than us. We are careful of how we speak. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna alladhina yaghudduna aswatahum 'inda rasulillah." Those people who lower their voices in the presence of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah spoke against raising the voice. Now he speaks highly about those people who lower their voices. Those people who lower their voices in the presence of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ulaika alladhina imtahana Allahu qulubahum lit-taqwa. They are indeed those people whom Allah has tested their hearts for piety. So Allah has, referring to the Sahabas, Allah has put their lives through so many different tests to see what? The piety in the heart. He has tested them in the burning and scorching sun in Arabia when they were flogged again and again to see their taqwa. He tested them with poverty. The days will pass and nothing to eat. They will dip leaves and water and eat it, nothing to eat. They will test them that their father will go in jihad and he will never return to them. father is killed in the path of Allah, no breadwinner. In every angle, they will come to the Rasul of Allah and say, "Oh Messenger of Allah, because we are Muslims, we have been persecuted so much, mercilessly at the hands of the unbelievers." The Prophet ﷺ could not do anything. He says, "Isbiru, isbiru." He says, "Have patience, have patience. Jannat is thirsty for you. Paradise is waiting for you. Have patience and have patience." In every aspect, in every angle, Allah tested their hearts again and again, again and again. Why? Allah wanted to see taqwa from their hearts. Do the hearts have piety or not? Is the heart filled with iman and tawakkul ala Allah? So Allah is saying, those are the people, because of taqwa in their hearts, they learn how to respect the Rasul of Allah, so they lower their voices. What Allah says, لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ. Two types of rewards. لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ. That in the hereafter, they will get Allah's forgiveness. Allah will forgive them outrightly. Not a single stain of sin will be on them. Full forgiveness. That is over there. What about here? In this world while they are alive. وَأَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. And a great reward Allah has in store for them. A very, very great reward Allah has in store for them while they are alive on the face of the earth. Allah's blessings will come to them. A great reward Allah will give. And when they die also, they will reap a very, very great reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah's forgiveness will come to them. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُنَادُونَكَ مِنْ وَرَاءِ الْحُجُرَاتِ. Verily those people who call you from behind the curtains or behind the rooms, أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Most of them do not have any understanding. This ayat was revealed when the same tribe of people, Banu Tamim, came to the Messenger of Allah. But they were such people who did not really have correct upbringing with respect to adab and etiquettes. So they came and they stood up in front of the rooms of the Prophet and said, "Ya Muhammad, akhrij ilayna, Muhammad, come out." That is a very great disrespect to the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah is telling us in the previous ayat how we should address the Rasul with respect and how we should keep our voices. But Allah is telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that these people who call you from behind the hujarat, they don't have much aqal. They don't have much sense. They don't have proper akhlaq. They don't know. So don't look at that. But at the same time, Allah is teaching them a lesson. So Allah says, those people who call you from behind the rooms, أَكْفَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. Most of them do not have ilm and aqal. They do not have proper sense and knowledge. But Allah says, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ صَبَرُوا. If they had patience, حَتَّى تَخْرُجَ إِلَيْهِمْ, until you come out to them, لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ. It would have been better. So the adab and the etiquette with respect to dealing with the Rasul of Allah is that if you come, you don't go and call him. Wait till he comes out. When he comes out, you speak to him. وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. And Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. Referring to these people, Banu Tamim, who are Muslims, that whatever you have done, it is a great form of disrespect. So therefore make tawbah to Allah. Allah will forgive you, because Allah is Ghafoor, Allah is Rahim. So therefore this ayat tells us that a person, for his own pleasure and for his own maqsad and objective, he should not cause any harm to the Rasul. Maybe he's doing something, maybe he's in ibadat, maybe he's having his meals, and you go in front and you call him out like how you will call out your friends. Allah says no. So two things. One is that you shouldn't do it, and only people will do such a thing, people who lack aqal, intelligence, people who lack proper sense, people who lack ilm. On the other hand, what is the lesson from Allah? That all companions and people outside, whenever you come to meet the Rasul, do not demand that he comes out to you. You wait. Wait in the masjid, he will come. When he comes out for any necessity, you will meet him, you will speak to him. Based on this ayah, Many of the Mufassirin, even Imam Bukhari has mentioned in his chapter that it is bi'adabi and disrespect also, because of the fact, as I was mentioning before, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has considered al-ulama hum warathatul anbiya, that ulamas and scholars, they are indeed the inheritors of the Prophet. So the adab that is mentioned here are adabs and etiquettes for them also. We should be careful how we speak in front of them. Do not raise our voices. Do not, because Allah has given them honor. Allah has given them a very great status. And if we cannot understand that, then on the Day of Judgment we will see that. So much honor that a hafiz of the Quran, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with his own blessed tongue, told us, a hafiz who knows the Quran by heart, but does not know the tafsir, and does not, sometimes cannot translate it because his job is to learn it out. His izzat and status in the sight of Allah is so great that he has memorized the Quran, but on the Day of Judgment, his parents will wear a crown. What about him? The honor of him is so much that in Tirmizi, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, because of the fadilat and honor of him becoming a hafiz of the Quran, Allah will crown his parents with such a crown that if the sun were to come out, the sun will hide itself because of the beautiful light emanating from the crown. What do you think about the hafiz himself? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the hadith mentioned in Tirmizi that it will be said to the hafiz, Iqra, wartafi, read and ascend the stations of Jannat. Read and ascend. And your place is Jannat. In Jannat is where you stop reading. So the Prophet ﷺ says, read tartila, slow. Read slow. So your status will be higher. The Prophet ﷺ says, the fadilat of a hafiz of the Quran is that on the Day of Judgment, he will be granted the permission by Allah to intercede for 10 people of his family members for whom Jahannam has been destined. Intercede for them, Allah will accept your intercession. That is a person who learns the Quran by heart with respect to its meaning, hadith, etc. He has no knowledge, but he can read the Quran. Then what is the status of those people who are endowed with the ilm of it? The ulum of the Quran, the sciences of the Quran. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, al-ulama warathatul anbiya. In Bukhari, another hadith states, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, man yuridullahu bihi khayran yufaqqahu fi ad-din, that whomsoever is such a person that Allah wishes to extend a lot of goodness to, Allah gives him the knowledge of deen. So therefore, the ulamas used to say that everyone, they do not know what Allah has in store for them, except those people who are endowed with knowledge of deen. Why? Because the Prophet says, when Allah gives you that, it means Allah wants goodness with you. So when you get it, you know from the hadith that Allah wants goodness from that person. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala says, Imam Bukhari mentions that, Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala states that I have never ever went to any one of my teachers from among the Sahabas, knocked on their door or called them outside. When I go for learning, I will sit at their step. And I will wait. When they come out and they see me, they will say to me, you are the cousin of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why did you not knock on our door and call us? We would have come immediately to you. He says, no, it is I who need the knowledge. And Allah commands us in the Quran about this, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُنَادُونَكَ مِنْ وَرَائِهِ حُجَرَاتٍ, those people who call, they are not people with proper sense. He says, it is not proper that I come to benefit from you and I must call you out and knock on your door. He says, no, whenever you come, I will learn. Other Sahabas, Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, very great Sahabi, says, I have never ever called out or knocked on the door of any one of my ustads. Because of this, this is where Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala is making that istidlal. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala was such a great scholar among the Sahabas after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he is given the title of Mufassirul Ummat. He is the Mufassir of the entire Ummat. Such great learning Allah endowed to him. So these are certain adabs and etiquettes that Allah has given, first of all, about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Respect must be there. Respect to those people above us. Certain things, the way we speak, the way we walk, the way we put ourselves in front. in fact calling out to them, etc., etc. Allah says, whenever you have patience and they come out to you and you speak to them, لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ, that will be better. Any form of disrespect that was done, any form of bi'adabi that was done, make tawbah to Allah. Wallahu ghafoorur rahim. Allah is most forgiving. Allah is merciful. Allah will forgive us.